Turn to the book of John this morning, John chapter 3, and this is a very familiar truth to us, but like all truths, they should be ever new as well, just to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. John chapter 3 contains probably the most well-known verse in the whole Bible, in verse 16. John chapter 3 in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. We'll leave it there. Father, we thank you and praise you and bless you for the reading of your word once again. Lord, it's a very well-known passage, very well-known verses. And Father, I pray that you would quicken us so that it might be almost like, my, I've never heard that before. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful truth. But Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us here this morning, Lord, that we might be able to say of a surety, I know I'm born again. Lord, if not, then as we look at this passage together, Lord, that you would speak to anybody this morning who's not sure that they've been born again, that by the end of this time they would say, I understand a little more about what that is, and I see that I'm not, but I want to be this day. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Those opening verses there, verse 1 and 2, this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, obviously a very religious, a very devout man. If we'd seen him, we probably would have said, what a godly man. That's how they looked at those men back in those days. And being a ruler, he would have been a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body. And the Bible says the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. You say, why did he come at night? I suggest because he was afraid of what the others would have said if they knew he was there. You remember later on when the man born blind from birth, his parents, they didn't want to acknowledge Jesus because there'd been a rule passed, if anybody does, he's out or she's out. And I would suggest as a rule, and Nicodemus thought it a little prudent, perhaps I better come at night time. I'm interested to know a little more about this man, but I better not make it public just yet. And so he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He said, we got that worked out. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus, we know that you must be from God, and nobody else could do these miracles. And before he gets an opportunity to ask or say anything further, the Lord Jesus says there in verse 3, Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's almost like he's saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you've got a few questions there, but let me tell you, you need to get the first things first, and that's being born again. And we see later on, he says, if I tell you earthly things, you don't understand it. He said, you're not going to understand heavenly things. And so he starts out by the way, this is his first recorded teaching, and he starts with the most important teaching of all. You must be born again. Jesus answered, verily, verily, truly, truly, that's what it means. He said, listen, I'm telling you, Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how religious you are, Nicodemus. It doesn't matter how many good things you do. If you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Now remember, they were waiting for the kingdom. They were anticipating the Messiah. And we know that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah, and one day he will establish his kingdom on earth. He says, if you want to get into the kingdom of God, and as you want to become part of the family of God, if you want to be in heaven one day, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because except the man be born again, he's not going to be there. And the term born again has the idea of being born from above. It's not just, going back, as Nicodemus says there in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Good question. How can you be born when you're old? I'm an older man now. You're saying I must be born again. How's that going to happen? How can that happen? If I'm to get into the kingdom, and I want to be in the kingdom, I believe he's saying that. But he's wondering how I'm going to get there. I'm an older man now. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And you say, well, that's, why would you say something stupid like that? He's just thinking naturally. He's just taking, as it were, at face value. Jesus said, you must be born again. Here's an old man, older man. He says, how can I be born again? Do I have to get in my mother's womb? Remember, he's not, you see, what happens, born again is a spiritual truth. And the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God. And Paul says, they're foolishness to him, neither can he know, because they're spiritually discerned. And so it's nothing too amazing that he would be thinking on this level. How can I be born again? I mean, it's taken him by surprise anyway, I believe, because that's not what he came to ask. And yet the Lord Jesus puts it right out there to him and says, listen, you must be born again or you won't see the kingdom of God. Well, can I enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born? Well, the Lord Jesus answered him in this sense, verse 5, verily, verily, again, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, Nicodemus, that's a perfectly normal response. I understand that. But Nicodemus, let me tell you again, except you have a spiritual birth, you won't enter the kingdom. First of all, he says you won't see it. Now he says you won't enter it. And why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And you need to be... He says, okay, how can a man be born? Well, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And this is where the cults jump in, and I've heard it many times over the years. See, you need to get baptized to be born again. Where do you get that? Well, it says in John chapter 3, the man must be born of water. That's not talking of baptism, the waters of baptism there. That's very clear by the time you get to the end of this passage. Baptism has nothing to do with being born again. And yet the cults are out there and others who tell you that, you know, you've got to be born again. How do you get born again? Well, you've got to go through the waters of baptism. Because the waters of baptism washes away your sins. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Remember our last hymn? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's how our sins are cleansed, not through waters of baptism. You must be born, well, obviously we're all born of water. If we want to use the approach that it's speaking of, you know, a natural birth is when the mother's waters are broken and then the baby's born. You could go down that path because he says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Or you could say, okay, what he's talking about here with the water, he's talking about the Word of God. And we're not stretching things for that. Remember how Peter wrote in 1 Peter, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to the person's heart and life and brings them to that place where they're born again. It's a birth from above, the Spirit of God doing the work. And so we know the Lord Jesus, as he spoke of the church in Ephesians 5, he said that he was going to wash them through the washing, or cleanse them through the washing of the water of the Word. So we know that the water is used symbolically at times about the Word of God. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. He says, except the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's interesting, isn't it? When you think about this spiritual birth, there's some very clear parallels which he speaks about. A physical baby doesn't bring itself into the world, amen? No more does a person become a Christian by their own efforts. It doesn't happen. And you can be a good person and you can get baptized and speak in tongues and all the gibberish that goes on out there. You won't be born again. You won't be born again that way. That's not how it is. It's not what we do. That baby did nothing to be born. It was born. It doesn't bring itself into the world. Now, when you look at the physical and the spiritual, as each of them comes into the world, they're both a new person. Here's a baby. This is a new person in the world now. I was visiting Nett in the hospital, and she's had the baby, a little boy, Timothy Say, he's called, and he's quite big for considering how small she is. But she finished up, she had to have a cesarean. He's over 7 pounds. But he looks pretty good to me. But he didn't get himself into the world. He didn't start the ball rolling, as it were. No. He's in the world now. And now we have a new person in the world. But so it is spiritually. When someone's born again, we now have a new person in the world. Old things have passed away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. You see, when I'm born again, I'm now a new person in the world. Now, I'm the same person, I understand that. So the parallels, you don't want to push it too far. But there is a new person. And both start out as babies. As newborn babes, sincerely desire the milk of the word, Peter writes. And so when I'm born again, spiritually I'm a baby. And that's why we have to be careful sometimes. We don't expect too much from babies. Oh, now you're saved. Now you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. Just a minute. They're just babies. They've only just come into the world, spiritually speaking. Be careful. Don't lay too much on them just yet. You wouldn't go to Timothy Say and say, here's the keys. I want you to drive me home today from the hospital. I don't think it's going to work. The same spiritually speaking, God doesn't expect from a baby what he expects from someone who's been saved for a while. He doesn't expect the same. He expects them to live up to the light that he gives them, that's true. But that's all. And so there's some parallels there when you think about it. It's amazing. Both new people, both start as babies. And so the Lord Jesus says, all right, except you be born of the flesh and then born of the Spirit. And notice verse 7, he makes his what we'd call a very dogmatic statement. Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. If Nicodemus had come to the Lord Jesus and said, you know, how do I get into the kingdom of God? He would have got the same answer. You must be born again. You must. There's no other way to get into the kingdom of God. And, you know, today people don't like that, do you? You know, you're just too dogmatic. Or you just keep saying what the Bible says. Well, that's what it says. You must be born again. Yeah, but it's amazing how people dodge and duck and weave. And just coming back and being simple about it, okay, if I must be born again, how can I be born again? That would be a better approach, surely. How can I be born again? And Nicodemus, how can I be born again? Do I have to go into the second time my mother's womb? No. I'll tell you how you have to do it shortly, Nicodemus. But let me tell you, you must be born again. There's no other way. And yet today, I know we say this often, but today there are so many ways, so-called, that are going to get you to God. And the user-friendly churches out there, more and more, they're breaking down the gospel if they even mention it, because we don't want to offend people. You start telling people they must do something, they're not going to be happy with that. Well, that's what God says, you must. You must be born again, or you won't see, you won't enter the kingdom. So, Nicodemus, let me share something with you. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, let me tell you something, that this is an invisible work, but it's a very real work which you will observe. He said, I'll use the wind as an example. The wind bloweth where it listeth, as thou hearest the sound, but canst tell where it's come and whither it's going. So you can get outside, you can see the wind. No, you can't see the wind, can you? You can't see the wind. You can see the results of the wind. You can feel the wind if it's blowing. But where did it come from? Somewhere out there. Where's it gone? Somewhere down there. Where's this thing you call wind? Well, the Lord said, it's like the Spirit of God. He's like that as well. You can't see him working in a person's heart and life. Having said that, I believe sometimes you get some idea that he is. You see someone there under conviction about sin and about their need to get right with God. And sometimes you can see that. Now, others try and laugh it off and make out, oh, it doesn't bother me, but inside, the Lord's doing the work. And Nicodemus, this is a spiritual birth, and so the Spirit of God's like the wind. You can't see the Spirit of God, you can't see where he's come from, you can't see where he's gone. But Nicodemus, let me tell you, you will see the fruit of it. You'll see the results of what he's doing. You'll see when the Spirit of God challenges someone, they're either going to get saved or they're going to turn their back on God sooner or later. You see some decisions made, and some people are like that. You know, you share the Lord with them and you talk about the gospel and Christ's death and burial and resurrection and everything else, and they say, I don't want to know about it. They've just said no to the wind, to the Spirit of God. You've seen that when we were door knocking yesterday, you know. You can see that some people, they're saying no to God. They're saying no to God. It's very clearly, we don't want to know about it. Okay, well, that's what happens. The wind's been blowing and they've chosen to resist and said no. So Nicodemus, let me tell you, this is a spiritual business, this is a spiritual matter. It's the Spirit of God who works in that person's heart and life. He uses the Word of God to bring them to that place where they're born again. So Nicodemus answers in verse 9, how can these things be? He's still going, how can this be? What you're saying, I sort of get it, but how can it be? Maybe if he'd thought back a little bit to the book of Ezekiel, you remember the vision of the valley of dry bones? Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to those bones, and the bones will come together, and the spirit, the wind, will move upon them. And so as he's watching, there's noise, and all the bones start to come together. And there's all these people standing down in the valley, but they've got no life in them yet. He says, now I want you to prophesy again, and the wind moves, and all of a sudden they're alive now. Nicodemus, if you'd thought about a little bit, you could have got some idea back there in Ezekiel what happens. People are dead in sin and trespasses until they are born again. But when they're born again, the Spirit of God puts life in them, got a new life. And Nicodemus, you say, how can these things be? Well, think back. You know the Spirit of God's the one who has to do it. And Jesus answered and said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? How is it, Nicodemus, you don't know this? You're one of the rulers here in Israel. You're the master of Israel. You don't know? And yet you can go and talk to pastors even out there and they don't know. I've spoken to some and asked them and they don't know. You know, we went and shared, we spoke to a Catholic priest one day. I said, we're going to go and visit every minister in town of every church and find out whether they're saved or not. So we go and knock on the door. First one's a Catholic church up there. He said, what are you doing? We're just going to talk to them. I said, we haven't come here to argue or fight, debate anything. We just come here to say hi and just talk about personal things about the Lord. You want to come in? Yeah, sure. Show us around the you know, whatever it's called. And, wow, this is interesting. And he said, would you like a cuppa? I said, you got any Milo? Yeah, good. Okay, we'll sit down, we'll have a Milo. Oh, we're going to have a chat. And so we got talking and I said, can I ask you a question? He said, what's that? I said, you know, are you sure if you were to die right now you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I'm not. He said, I'm doing my best, I'm working at it, I'm trying to get it sorted out so that I will be one day. I said, that's not quite how the Lord spoke about it. In John chapter 3, it says you must be born again. And he had no idea about it. No idea. Yet here's the priest who's supposed to be leading all these people in the ways of God. No idea. Nicodemus, no idea. A ruler in Israel. He's right up there, but no idea. No idea what the Lord was talking about at that point. Well, how's it going to happen? Well, first of all, the Lord says, well, truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we've seen and you receive not our witness. You haven't listened to what we've already been telling you. He said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall I believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He said, we've got a problem here. Notice what he says next, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Interesting verse that, maybe ponder it sometime. Lord Jesus talking to Nicodemus said, I'm in heaven at the moment. Well, it's not quite what he said, but he's letting him know, I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God. But then he says, all right, you've asked how, or I'll give you an illustration from the Old Testament, Nicodemus, so that you can understand a little better maybe. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. I think we probably know the story reasonably well about what happened there. The children of Israel were murmuring and complaining out there in the wilderness, and God had been leading them, and God said, that's enough. And he sent fiery serpents in amongst them, started to bite, and they started to die. And what happened? They came to Moses, said, look, could you pray for us? Talk to God about it. So he spoke to the Lord, and the Lord says, basically, I'm not taking them away. They're going to stay here. This is a challenge for them. But I want you to get a pole, and I want you to make a brazen serpent, put it on the pole, and put it in the center of the camp. And tell the people this, very simple. If they get bitten by a serpent, look at that brazen serpent, they won't die. It's as simple as that. Pretty simple. What are they going to do with that? And we've looked at it many times. There's many things they could do. They could have said they get bitten by a serpent, they apply a tourniquet and they do all sorts of things and then they die. Why? Because they didn't look at the serpent on the pole. They could rush down to the doctors. They could go and ask someone to pray. I've just been bitten by a snake. Could you please pray for me that God will heal me? Waste of time. But that sounds pretty spiritual. I've prayed about it and I'm dying. That's not what God told you to do. God said, take a simple look of faith at that serpent up there on the pole and you won't die. It's that simple. Now, the Lord Jesus, he uses that to bring this truth to Nicodemus. How can you be born again? Well, Nicodemus, it's very simple. It's a look of faith. And notice there, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He's speaking of the cross and the Lord Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins. Nicodemus, just a simple look by faith, believing that I'm dying in your place for your sins, believing the gospel story about my resurrection, and you'll be born again. It's as simple as that, Nicodemus. You just need to look, a look of faith. He knew all the things about the Messiah. He knew Psalm 22 and all that. He knew all about Isaiah 53. He knew the gospel. Remember, he's a ruler. He knows all those things. But he never applied it personally. So he's not asking him to do something foolish and come up with things that he wouldn't know about. He knows all those truths. And remember, the Spirit of God's working in this man's heart and life. And he'd be bringing things to his memory about the scriptures, I'm sure. But you must look. It's interesting when you read the story of Charles Spurgeon. He was a man greatly used of God in England. And as a young man, we'd say today, a teenager, he wasn't saved until towards the end of his teen years. His grandfather had been a preacher and a pastor, and his father was a preacher and a pastor. But Charles Spurgeon wasn't saved at that point. He wasn't born again. Reminds us that you're not born a Christian, you have to be born again. Amen. And he said, this day there was a real storm and snow and everything around the town where they were living. And he wasn't able to get to the church that he normally went to. So he decided he still wanted to go to church. I mean, he's a religious young man. He's been brought up, his grandfather and his father, all that. And so he goes to what was called in those days a primitive Methodist church, just a little church down a little street near where he was living, I understand. And he went in there and he said for a few months he'd been feeling really miserable because he knew he wasn't right with God and he couldn't kind of work out how it was going to work and how he was going to do it. And so he sat there in this little church and he was all miserable and sitting there, and there was a man who was doing the message that morning, and the minister wasn't there. Maybe the weather, he couldn't get there, whatever it was, but there's only a few people there, just a handful of people there. And this man got up to bring a message. And he said, turn to Isaiah 45, verse 22. He said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And he didn't really have a message, so he just kept repeating that verse. Look unto me. And be ye saved unto all the ends of the earth. And, you know, it's not what you do. You've got to look unto him. It's not what you don't do. You've got to look unto him. And you look unto him. And he kept going on and on. And Spurgeon said, somewhere in all that, he said, the man looked at him. He said, I was sitting over there on the side by myself. And he said, he looked at me and he said, young man, he said, you look miserable. Look unto him and be saved. And he said, I looked and I was saved. Oh my. You see, he knew all the truths. But that was the point where the Spirit of God opened his eyes and understanding to the truth, and he was born again. Right then. What did he do? Just a simple look of faith. All these truths, all his life, he'd been brought up with the gospel and Christ's death and burial and resurrection, all of that. And at that moment in time, the Spirit of God opened up his understanding and he said, I looked. And that was it. I was born again. Nicodemus, you just have to look. It's a look of faith. It's a look believing that Jesus died on the cross for you and buried and rose again. And I know, Nicodemus, I haven't died yet, but that's the gospel. You know it from the Old Testament. What a wonderful, wonderful work the Spirit of God does in a person's life. Amen. Then Nicodemus, just in case, I want to just encourage you a little further. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Nicodemus is, it's for you, but it's for whosoever. It's for religious people. It's for atheists. It's for drug addicts. It's for everybody else. We were door knocking yesterday, and as I mentioned, one of the last doors we came to is this younger lady, I don't know, maybe mid-30s, perhaps something like that. And we had a talk with her for a while, and she gave a little bit of her background. She said she'd been an orphan, and then some people had taken her in, and she said, yeah, I've already been married 3 times, and I've got a child by each one, and wait for a divorce to go through, and yeah, I've got a partner at the moment. We don't live together, so that's probably why we're still together. And it's like, what a mess. And we said, well, you know, you need to get right with God. There's someone who, if they're willing, that she could be born again. It's whosoever. He said, but her life's just a mess, correct? She said, but I'm going to work it out somehow. I said, well, hopefully you will. What am I saying? It doesn't matter whether you're a Nicodemus or whether you're a person in the gutter or you're some nice, respectable person out there in the community, you must be born again. Amen. You must. There's no other way into the kingdom. There's no other way to see it. But you must be born again. Let's pray. Father, we do bless you and praise you for your word, and we're thankful, Lord, for the amazing miracle that the new birth is, the Spirit of God, that wind of God, working in a person's heart and life through the preaching of the gospel and the word of God, bringing to that point where they take that look of faith and believe on the Lord Jesus and are born again. Lord, as we read through the rest of the Gospels of John, it seems that Nicodemus may well have been born again later on. He's mentioned a couple of times, and each time it says that man Nicodemus who came at night. He was there when the Lord Jesus had died, and he was there helping at the burial. Not something he'd do if he hadn't been born again. So we praise you, Lord, that to be born again, it doesn't mean you have to be a religious expert. It doesn't mean you have to be down in the gutter. It just means you have to have a look of faith. As Isaiah said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Father, again, you know our hearts this morning. And Father, you know if there's anybody here this morning who, if they were honest, they'd have to say, I cannot say that I am born again. As we've seen, Lord, it's a supernatural work of the Spirit of God. The person is a new creature in Christ, a different life, a different everything. Old things have passed away. Father, there's anybody this morning who would have to be honest and say, I haven't been born again. I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I haven't been born again. Father, I pray, may the Spirit of God, that one whom we can't see, but the one who does the work of convicting and convincing and then converting, Lord, that you would do that work in their hearts and lives this morning. And then, Father, for God's people, that we would be encouraged once again and so thankful. Lord, it's like that baby coming into the world. Didn't do anything. Same with us. We didn't do anything. We just looked by faith. And we've been born again. And all that lies ahead. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you. And we just pray, Lord, that we take this message out to those around us as well. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.